This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 8th of January, 1954. The title of this lecture is How to Know What the PC is Doing. This lecture is 47 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
This is the afternoon lecture, January the 8th, 1954. Second lecture of the day. The supervision of auditing, which I've checked up here in the morning, on the auditors were checking in the morning, and I've bopped in a few times in the afternoon and taken a listen. And let me go over just two or three real major bulls. Great, big, glaring blunders that I've run into. One is, an auditor was getting evidently complete compliance on opening procedure, and yet had not inquired very much into his case. He was getting complete compliance. I mean, the fellow was walking around, but the fellow was kind of in apathy about it. And I did some variations on the case, just show the auditor what could be done a little bit, this and that, the opening procedure. Let him run a little test project that I've been working on. No great expectancy of very much happening to the case on that level. And checked in on the case again, and by golly, there's still no change. But the auditor hadn't examined his case. He just hadn't examined the case very intimately. That is to say, he just didn't become acquainted with the facets and sit there and take a look at the material before him. He just didn't take a look at it. That was the main thing I would say. This auditor, by the way, was running mechanically perfect. But he hadn't looked at the case, and so the case hadn't done and hasn't done at this moment a big communication change. Auditor's other case has, so that's all right. Look at the preclear. He's a specialized stack of problems. But look at him. He's always doing one thing. He's trying to waste in the messed universe what he can't have in his own, you might say. It's a little rule of diagnosis, which is tremendously important. He's right out there in plain sight trying to waste what he can't have. And a case will do on opening procedure a dwindling spiral of obedience. The preclear gets terrifically dutiful is often trying to waste obedience. He will be so precisely obedient, it is painful. Painful, unnecessary, and so forth. And that's true of almost any case you see. They're trying to waste obedience because they can't have other people obedient and other messed objects obedient to them. All right, that's big obvious stuff. Now let's go into it a little less obvious. And let's see what else this fellow's trying to waste. This girl, see what she's trying to waste. Sometimes she's trying to waste beauty, and sometimes she's trying to waste grace, and sometimes she's trying to waste other things. Sometimes she's trying to waste money, trying to waste something or other. But you can just look at her, or look at him, and just observe them the first few minutes of the session. Just make them talk or something. And then as you're running opening procedure, watch how they operate. Well, opening procedure isn't going to tell you too much. What it will tell you is super obedience of a sort of an apathetic state. Now you want to get good live obedience, and you'll see a terrific difference in a wasted obedience, a wasted compliance, and an actual piece of teamwork. Of course, the time the fellow comes up to an actual piece of teamwork on this subject, why, he's so far out and beyond needing any auditing, it's fantastic. That one you can always count on to some degree. They're trying to waste one way or the other obedience, but that solves itself just by putting him through the line. You know, making him go through the paces. Well, now, I looked at a case one day. The guy wasn't a case. He was just a fella, you know, just a guy standing in an office. Oh, boy, he was having an awfully rough time trying to find, in a file card system, a name. Well, now when you realize that Satan has the potentiality of looking at a card file and simply reaching into the card file and pulling the name out, a fellow looking endlessly through a card file system for one name. Now, this comes out kind of weird. You say he's trying to waste finding. You know, he's just intentionally wasting finding because he can't have finding. So I ran a little creative processing on him and had him mock up things and find them. Of course, this is a high degree of generality, you know, and it's actually silly to go into such a high degree of generality because this is wrong practically with every case. They're trying to waste finding one way or the other. But this was a spot thing. He was trying to find something in pieces of paper. See? He was just trying to waste this findingness somehow or other. See? Now, Satan feels if he can just waste enough of something, he can have it. He's doing that all the time. So we had him find things on pieces of paper. We had him find pieces of paper. We started this out not with creative processing, but we had him put a piece of paper on the desk and then look all over the room for it before he found it, although he knew where it was all the time. Real cute process. All of a sudden, things went zing, bong, crash. He was wearing glasses there of the what fog variety. His eyesight changed, and his glasses became unusable in about 5 minutes, or I guess it was about 8 minutes. And something like that, a processing, a little small group. Well, here was his trouble finding things in a piece of paper. It went back to the fact that the fellow had had a very arduous education and several very tough bosses. But I did this in a business office which had nothing to do with Scientology at all. It was a miracle. I didn't know what I was doing. No explanation, nothing. It was his specific present time problem because he was a file clerk. You see? Just look at the fellow doing something. Well, you can't see your preclear really very much in his natural habitat. But his natural habitat is the messed universe, and he's doing something weird in it. You just got to learn how to look. If you learn how to look, you'll find out what he's trying to waste. You could remedy that immediately. It isn't very hard to do. Don't look so puzzled. Now, the next thing that I ran into this has been very general. I haven't heard a single auditor present, afternoon sessions or evening sessions, asking even vaguely enough, has there been a perception change? Not even vaguely enough. I mean, it's like one little drop of water in the bucket. You know, they kind of dab at this one because I said it was a good thing to do, not because it has any use in auditing. It's just, you know, something you do, and Ron said so, so we'll kind of do it. You had a perception change? I haven't even heard it like that. Not even that bright. Let's find out if we get a perception change. Now, let's find this one out, and I haven't heard this one asked. Are you certain it isn't giving you orders? Why, you know very well if you take somebody who's kind of psycho, and you take him and you start challenging him like that and say, are you really certain of it? No, no, are you really certain of it? No, you wasted that. Are you really certain that you wasted that? Now, are you actually certain that the chair is not giving you orders? Now, come on, are you really certain of it? And if you went on like this, you know, naturally everybody knows you'd shaky certainty. Well, you damn well better had shaky certainty. Now, I won't mention any names, or I won't look at anybody hard, But I found somebody running step 1A without challenging on the subject of certainty all the time, on a case that obviously needed to be challenged. So we finally came up at the end of the session with at least one certainty. The preclear became certain that he was uncertain. At least he started to realize he was groping. And we got a nothingness of objects on giving orders. And he had a certainty he was not getting orders from a nothingness of objects. Now, that's always one they can get certain on orders. You say, you see that lamp over there? Well, now get a nothingness of that lamp alongside of it. Are you receiving orders from a nothingness of that lamp? All right, mock up a dollar bill. Now get a nothingness of the dollar bill underneath the mock-up. Is that nothingness giving you any orders? And for the first time, the fellow will actually come out to a realization that there is something that doesn't give him orders. It's a nothingness. And when they get plowed into agreement with the mesh universe pretty hard, of course, they're in a terminal interchange with everything. Terminal interchange with the sun, moon, stars, earth, and all the objects of the room. They realize with truth that the law of the universe says that anything and everything can communicate with them, so naturally everything can give them orders. It can tell them where they are, for one thing. They look at a house, they say, well, it isn't giving me orders. No, house isn't giving me orders. I say that, they sound all right. About that time you say, now you sure the house isn't giving you orders? Oh, no. Well, of course, it really isn't getting it. The hell with that level of certainty. That's not a level of certainty at all. That's what's wrong with your prequel. He's not certain. He doesn't know, not certain. Well, let's find out something he can be certain of. I've taken a preclear and made him go over and start kicking the wall. Just actually kicking the wall and hitting the table with his fist. Make him hit the table with his fist and then say, now, are you certain the table's there? And the fellow would think this over for a while, you know, think and think and think. Well, yeah. Of course the table's there. Everybody knows that. Go on, hit it again. Now, are you certain it's there? Hit it again. Hit it harder. So he finally hits it hard enough to bark his knuckles, and it's stinging while he answers you. He's got to have the impact at the moment to be certain, you see, and it's stinging while he answers you. And you say, are you certain of that? Yes, he'll say, I'm certain of that. Now, hit it again. My hand's getting sore. I don't care if your hand's getting sore. Hit it again. Well, why? Well, hit it without any reason at all. Well, I couldn't do that. You run into that very often, right about that point. You finally make him hit it with no reason. And then he finally starts getting antagonistic towards you. Well, of course I'm certain it's there. What do you mean? Naturally, I'm certain it's there. Well, I hit it, didn't I? Of course the table's there. Good, hit it again. All right. And that's just about the way it goes. Now, are you certain that you hit the table? Yes, I'm certain that I hit the table. Coming up in tone. You gave the guy a certainty. Now, we had a PC who had drifted along on subjective type auditing. You know, get mock-ups, do this, do that. Get mock-ups and do something. And, his case is fine. He auditing worked fine. Case worked fine. Everything worked fine. Except there was no communication changes of any kind occurring in the case after about 8 hours of auditing. So we took this PC and we had him kicking the walls and pounding the tables and banging the floor and going outside and hitting his head against trees and so forth for over an hour. Just this. Kick it again. Now, you're certain it's there? Oh, you have some doubt in your mind. Well, I didn't say I had a doubt in my mind. Well, kick it again. And this guy, halfway through that session, was just about going crazy. But what do you know? He finished up an hour and a half or something like that later, and he, for the first time, kicked a wall and was certain he'd kicked it. And the rest of the time, he was just being mad about it. And his case from that moment on soared, and his communication changes came in quite rapidly. Of course, his auditor after that never did fail to nag him. Have you got any communication change? Oh, the room is duller now. Okay. Yup. All right, now how do things look to you? And of course, well, they're a little brighter now. Well, how do things look to you now? Well, as a matter of fact, they're going black. Yup, some more auditions. Now how do things look to you? Well, they're all the way black now. You've turned my sight off. Well, now how do things look to you now? Black, of course, what do you expect? And then, of course, you just go on, because what you're doing is giving them a communication change. Well, don't give up a willing horse. Ride it to death. Kill it. See, just kill the technique. Just ruin it. Just keep right on going. Because from that point on, you're hitting the duplication. If you're getting a perception change, you must be hitting close to the immediate problem of the Thetan, because things are flicking on and off, you see. So just ride that one to death, because you'll also run out some boredom in the process, because later on, it all of a sudden will stop changing. You won't get a communication change on it anymore. Things will just be mediumly bright. They might have gotten awfully flary bright, you know. Well, the world might have gone totally gold or totally green or something like this, but now it's gotten back to just a medium brighter than usual. And it doesn't change. Well, you've hit him on a new stability. So then you leave it alone. When it's remained on a new stability for a few minutes, no change, then we go on to something else. You want to say, when do we use the next technique? Well, I'll tell you when you abandon a technique. It's when it doesn't give you a communication change immediately. And I'll tell you when you pick up the new technique, when the old one hasn't given you a communication change. And I'll tell you how long to carry on a technique, as long as it can give communication changes. And that's about the end of it. And if you don't nag people, nag. Have you got a perception shift on that? Of course, he'll say, no, I haven't got any perception shift. Come on, have you got any perception shift at all? Oh, well, I got this roaring headaches come in on me again, but I haven't any perception shift. Oh, yes, perception must be exclusively looking. The truth of the matter is, perception is the entire scale, which goes from no look, emote, feel, effort. More or less, most people define, you say how things feel, they define it as effort, not emotion, thinkingness, symbols, and so forth. He's got a lot of new ideas. That actually is a communication change, or you wouldn't think of it very much. He got a whole lot of new ideas while you were doing this. Well, fine. Communication change. Only you say, if your technique is really doing a lot of good, you're actually getting perception changes in lookingness or knowingness changes. Such as he says, I know now, I had some doubt about it before, but I know now absolutely that I'm the king of Siam. You've got, in essence, a perception change. A knowingness change is always senior to a perception change. Fellow all of a sudden says, you know, I can control this body. That's a big change. That's a real good one. You can take the whole band. You got somatics coming in and out and so forth. Listen to this. The somatic band is not reliable from this standpoint. A person can play tag with a somatic which comes in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, and because it's so low on the lookingness scale, or the knowingness scale, we'll call it, so low on the knowingness scale, that almost any technique you use will flip this somatic in and out. Well, you better go upstairs someplace to where it flips his sight on and off. Get the idea? It's a senior problem. Senior problem. Now, knowingness goes into lookingness. Lookingness goes into emotion. Emotion goes into effort. Effort goes into thinkingness. Thinkingness goes into symbols. And symbol goes into the applause and attention scale all the way on down to the bottom. And if you will add eating, and then below that, sex, at the lower end of the scale, you've got it. sure he will never get any applause at all. Well, actually, eating and sex are both above that. They're the lowest end of the scale. It's certain you'll never have any applause of any kind. Well, you go just above that and put sex, and just above sex put eating, and you've got the complete scale. So that is a perception type scale, and it goes down into the applause scale. So we don't care anything much about the lower end of the scale, because it's too beefy, it's too messy. And we're changing it on the GE rather than changing the theta. And that's the other reason why you don't pay too much attention to semantics. Okay, now, the other thing I have observed very much is that the auditors are not using the basic information with which we are dealing. Now, that to some degree is to be expected. But it didn't occur to one auditor this morning. This didn't occur to him. By the way, this auditor was really doing a real sloppy job right at first there, because he was running subjective processing on somebody who had who was shifting, and these lockups and so forth, shifting, no handle on them, you know? Change, 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 shift, shift. The mockups were shifting. He's running in quite a bit of automaticity. And it didn't occur to him, we better nail this automaticity by doing something else. We can't stay on this basis. Let's get some opening procedure in some fashion or another that'll work. So the auditor started opening procedure, and then he wasn't making too much advance with it, not the kind of advance he should have made. And we had to add immediately. All we did was add into opening procedure be, have, and do. Now, how would you like that? I mean, that's nothing to that. That's the simplest thing in the world, be, have, and do. Move out of that space. Now, we were running here this morning, move yourself out of the space. Now, throw yourself out of the space. Of course, that's doingness. You've got position plus doingness. Right? Now, move over to that space and be a cow. Now, that is position plus beingness. See, a variation of the technique by just adding something. Now move over to that space and act like a cow. All right, that would be position plus doingness. See, opening procedure plus doingness. Now go over in that space and have it. Own it. See, and that would be putting havingness in on top of that space, which makes a very powerful process out of opening procedure. And I'm going to start opening your eyes to the power that lies in opening procedure, because it is powerful. It's laid out in the little light, innocent fashion it is in that Congress form, simply because it takes some training to put the thing across, so we put it into a simple form. Now, it isn't as simple as you've been working it, because you add to it be, have, and do. And you get all sorts of things. You can run out any automatic machine that is keeping the person thin in his body with that opening procedure just by adding be, have, and do to it. Now be in this space and have a body. Now move back here and don't have one. Move his body back there and don't have one. Now move up here and have a body. Now move back here and don't have one. Now move up here and act like a body. Now move back here and act like a Thetan. The guy says, oh, how the hell is a Thetan act? You say, that's your problem, Mr. Anthony. Now we find out that he's doing something automatic. The second that he touches something, he looks at it fixedly. And he looks at it fixedly every time. You'll find them doing repeating things. Well, every time you see them do a repetitive thing, now make them do it as a repetitive thing and make them realize they're doing a repetitive thing, and you'll key out some sort of automaticity. For instance, they go over and they touch something and immediately let go. So you just have them touch it and let go and touch it and let go. Now make the postulate that they're going to touch it. Now make the postulate that they're going to let it go. So on. Instead of getting this automatic, they go over and touch the point, see, and then they let go. It's kind of hot. You can just sort of read on the fellow that the point is not too cool. And when they show up hot like that, or when they show up cold, the fellow stands over there and he keeps his finger on the point just endlessly. Oh boy, is he obedient. He keeps his finger on the point. You can talk about something else. You can let your subject drift off in some direction. You'll find he's still standing there with his finger on the point. Well, that's okay. You can almost count on that person being army trained, by the way, or somewhere on the track anyway. Fantastic. But you look at anything like this, and as he's doing it, you just make him run out of his automaticity. Now, here's an example of it, just giving you fresh examples that have just shown up here in the last 48 hours. A girl trying to yawn. During the Congress, here's observation piling up. During the Congress, and here in group processing and so forth, this girl has been trying to yawn every now and then. And just never quite make the grade. Now, you've known a lot of preclears that just couldn't quite make the grade on yawning. Now, how would we work this out really fully? We didn't this morning, but we worked it out pretty well, but we didn't work it out fully by opening procedure. Now, you would have worked it out by opening procedure this way, which we could also call body positioning procedure. We would have had her start to yawn as herself, make a posture, she was going to yawn, have her start to yawn, then have her move around and face the spot she'd just been in and make a postulate not to yawn. And then back and forth and back and forth. Make her start to yawn and not to yawn and start to yawn and not to yawn and start to yawn and not to yawn. The next thing you know, she would be able to tell herself to yawn and she'd yawn. And she wouldn't stop herself yawning. Then when she gets out a good healthy yawn, have her stop it midway through. And she can stop yawning. You see, you validate the person's postulates. You just don't try to knock them flat and say, look, these postulates you're using, you shouldn't use them because they'll be terribly detrimental to you, or something like that. All right. Now, our problem, then, in using all these techniques is to use them in the light of what we're assigning a high echelon position. Opening procedures, a direct body or phaeton. You use it just as well as a phaeton, you know. Exteriorize the fellow and have him use opening procedures. And that's why it's in there, step 1A. It's a drill on a phaeton, not an exteriorization technique. Not to really be used on the body, but it'll just bust cases like mad if used on the body, so let's just relax and use it on the body. Now, we start running this with what we're assigning as our highest common denominator of material. And we assign various values to this material, but the top echelon material is a value. Evaluation is assigned to communication, and as it applies to cause and effect. But that, of course, is next to the pre-logics, which are positioning themselves. Now, be over to this space and create a new space. It's one of the ways you handle a patient. Go to this space, now create a new space. And do all sorts of things. Go to that space and find something you really can have, you say to this space. All right, now let's look around the whole town. We've got him exteriorized. All right, let's look around the whole town of Phoenix here and find something you can have. You'd be amazed. This fellow's just been exteriorized. He's feeling kind of degraded and kind of low, but he's doing all right. He's happy to be out. He's glad he's met that goal and a little bit scrambled on the thing. Well, he just lost some havingness. So you run in be, have, and do. And incidentally, communication. So you say to him, now look around and see what you can really have around here. Anywhere around here. What can you really have? He look over the town and think he'll be surprised. The fellow, I look around, not that, and not that, and not that. Well, not that. Let's see. You say, all right, name some things you can't have. Oh, that's easy. The whole town and countryside and big generalities and so forth. Well, you just work him on can't have for a while. And then you say, well, what can you really have around here now? Now he finds something that we can have, because actually every one of those steps can be worked as and should sooner or later be worked as a dichotomy. What can you really have here? Oh, he'd say, gee, you know, I can have those radio towers. Yep, I can have the radio towers. All right, we'll be the same something. He said, well, I can have the radio towers. He said, but I really don't want them now. He says, I've got them anyhow. He'll explain all this to you after you've done the very thing necessary to do to get him over obsessive happiness.
You just tell him to beat the space or whatever he can have, and you'll have some interesting results. Now, the realest thing there is nothing. And it's much more important to hand out a nothing, actually, than it is a having it. Well, this seems to be something that you might contest or worry about, something like that, but it happens to be completely true. For instance, you get somebody who is voraciously collecting, you know, material, and you're putting out four anchor points, and you're pulling it together, and four anchor points, and you're pulling it together, and four anchor points, and he's getting more mass and more mass, and he decorates it all up, and he feels better and better about it, and he just feels swell about it. You spend half an hour getting him to waste enough mass of one kind or another so he can have some mass, and then he builds it up. Oh, he's just in beautiful condition. Then you run six steps to nothingness on him. And after you run six steps to nothingness on him for about 10 minutes, you say, all right, now take that valuable mass. He's not going to feel so bad anymore. Well, don't you want it? No. I don't need it. Well, you say, well, why don't you pick it up and do something about it? I don't need it. Well, go ahead and pick it up anyway. Okay. It's a nice mass. I can always make another one. Totally different reaction, like, ooh, boy, look at all this beautiful mass I finally accumulated. He can have nothing. And it sort of works out that if a fellow can own the whole universe, he can then really have nothing. And then he's really happy. Kind of silly, isn't it? All right, as we look this up and add this up, we find uniformly that in auditing, you want to use these tools. Now, let's apply another kind of a tool, and then find that your education, your ability is not to proceed. It should proceed to a point where you can just take these upper echelon factors and work out of them, just process after process after process, which simply fits the bill. Fellow says, you know, I have terrible case of stage fright. Now, how do we work it out with opening procedures? You say, well, when you talk to people, do you feel embarrassed too? Oh, yes. But I can get on a stage. Well, fine. Now, let's be here. Just stand him up there and say, all right, now let's be embarrassed. Well, I can't do that. Well, now let's turn around and face the spot you just were. And they work better sometimes if you name a telephone pole or a chair or something and have him work with this character. Don't make them do it totally imaginary, you know. Just actually have a piece of mass there. And you say, now be in this other, and be contemptuous of you being embarrassed. Oh, I am that, the old thing. Oh, boy, can you play that role. All right. Now, let's be another person and look at this flagpole or telephone pole or car wheel or whatever you've got and be very, very contemptuous of anybody being so embarrassed. Oh, okay. Boy, he can do that. Now, I'll turn around here and be yourself being embarrassed. Well, a little bit. All right. Now, turn around here and be people that are just waiting for you to do something very, very embarrassing. Now, turn around here and just wait for you to do something embarrassing. Now, wait for that person to do something embarrassing. All of a sudden, you don't have to add significance to this, by the way, but all of a sudden you say, you know, I've been like that ever since in kindergarten when I wet my pants and sent me home to school. I mean, something stupid like this will come up, you know, usually something intimate and embarrassing. And they'll just flick stuff off and on. Well, there's 100,000 lives worth of it. But don't worry about the significance of it. But just get him into a state where he's perfectly content to be very embarrassed. You know, having just be awfully embarrassed. Well, there are many ways to work out such a thing. That's by opening procedure. Let's take it by good old, poor old effort process. And effort processing was good because it really filled the bill on an awful lot of cases. Because there were a lot of cases this level. And if you're processing bodies, and you're trying to make bodies well and so forth, effort processing is a good stunt. All right, how do we work it out? Well, I had a fellow one time who couldn't help but blush. So So I made the guy blush, and I made him blush, and I made him blush, and turn all the face muscles, and I swear I thought his jugular vein was going to leap out of his throat. He turned the most peep purple you ever saw. Oh, man. And his tendons all stood out and everything. Every time he made himself blush, it was out of his control. So he'd blush and blush and blush. Well, anyway, I did this to him for 2 solid hours. But mind you, his auditor had been working him. Previous to this, his auditor had been working him for 25 hours just to minimize his embarrassment without one single tiny piece of success. Now, I didn't think I'd had very much success with a fellow, although he could turn it on. So I told him when he went home to stand in front of the mirror and blush. And then I said the next day at the office, make awfully sure that he made, pardon me, in the ensuing week, every girl in his office blush. I didn't hear any more about this case, and I thought, well, good old effort process, and we gave it a good whirl. What? The guy hasn't blushed since. The only thing that's wrong with him, actually, now, is he takes occasionally a little bit of a fiendish delight in the fact that other people blush. And he doesn't have to. That's just a guy off the street, you know. I mean, just a human being. All right. Now, whenever we look into procedures, we want to add up what we know about them. Now, let's take communication and apply it to opening procedures. Now, we have the fellow stand on one end of the room and then come around and be on the other end of the room. Have him send a message and receive it, in other words. Now, what kind of message do we have him send? Oh, he didn't ever realize this. But we have him merely be in one corner of the room, you see, and have the image of him emanate to the other corner of the room, and have him be in the diagonal corner of the room and receive the image of himself that is emanating to him. You know, you can do that endlessly with a guy, and he always gets better. If I may say, you know, I ought to tell you this. I hate to spoil your theory and everything, but you know these bodies really don't send out this kind of image. I mean, there's something wrong with the photons or something, but it really isn't doing that. I thought it was, but it's not. You get out of that after a while. Now, where we have hope, there's life. And when an individual can move around and shift his perceptions by doing simple techniques, he begins to realize that something might happen. He's got a little hope on it. He's afraid to have this hope. And you get into the inability to hope, which is the inability to have more mass universe. And so we run a kind of a process on almost any preclear of making him take ownership of everything he can see or hear or feel around, and then blank himself out with the postulate, now I'm going to lose it, and have him blank himself out, or if he's still in the body, shut his eyes. And then have him open his eyes and take possession of everything newly, and then close his eyes and lose it, and then open his eyes and possess everything, and then close his eyes and lose it. Now, this is actually not best done as a group process sitting in a room. And it's not best done in the auditing room. It should be done someplace where there are things in motion, because every time he opens his eyes, he finds a lot of new things in the environment. So we really do give him some new world every time. There are different cars and different pedestrians. Or the fellow who was standing in front of the window or something is now moved on down to a new window. So he sees actually that there is a passage of time by the motion of large particles in its vicinity. And you'll unpark a guy off of time. In the early part of life, an individual is trying to crush ahead into the future, because there's where he thinks havingness is. After a while, he settles down into the middle strand and just has. He does this briefly or longly, and he'll wind up eventually that all his havingness is in the past. And so each passing tick of the clock takes the universe away from him. That's quite upsetting. So havingness and time come right together on that process. And this is an immediate address of the theory to a process. Havingness, time. Okay? Let's just pop two together, bang, and process it. And you get an almost endless increase of perception changes. Now, if you get somebody up to 100,000 feet, you know, and you have him up there and just have him possess everything that he sees, and then blank it out, and then possess it again, you will get a continuous set of perception changes, an exteriorized technique, in other words. All right, now we've got another factor in there, though, is we keep validating the messed universe if we do that. We're validating barriers, validating barriers, validating barriers. Well, it's all right to validate messed universe barriers. They won't bite. But after a while, he gets up to the point where he knows he can have the messed universe, and you must recognize the point where he can begin to be processed on having nothing. See everything and now look right straight through it and have nothing. Now, sooner or later, he's going to have the process, and the process can be used at any time you're processing the case on having it. This new time, now have him open his eyes and find no walls instead of have everything. So he runs some nothingness in on it. So you're running a something nothingness and getting him off of his maybes. Now, I want to make a point here that's a little bit disrelated to what we've been talking about. You are not doing psychotherapy. And if you are still deeply engrossed in doing psychotherapy, then you are missing the boat. You're not doing psychotherapy. Anytime you think you're doing psychotherapy, you're going to get more interested in changing the aberrated ideas of the person than you are in accomplishing and returning to him his knowingness. Psychotherapy has as its goal, if it has any goal, we can give it a goal and say it had a goal. Psychotherapy has as its goal shifting the ideas and peculiarities of an individual into singer channels. We can give it a goal and say it had that goal, and that's what it was. But you're not doing that now. And the sooner the quicker. And any PC failure you're having may be, or any little extra time you're putting in on a session, you may be wasting, you know. This may be that you're wasting 55 minutes of an hour in session. It just may be. By performing psychotherapy. You see, you could be doing that. What you're trying to do is stay to clear somebody. Now, you only work his ideas in the direction of theta clearing. That is exteriorizing him and giving freedom of position. He can be any place, in anything, doing anything he wants to. Freedom of position. Up to a point where, when he gets up to operating state, and then you've got to drill him on making barriers. He gets too free and he gets a little unhappy about it, so you give him barriers that he can erect as he wishes. You have him make machines that he can forget about and will then do peculiar and strange things, such as swishing. Every time he looks at the front door of the house, why, he swishes straight through the house and comes back to the front door again and install his machine and so on. And nothing will startle him more than the intense workability of such mechanics. He'll try to get rid of this machine or something after a short time, and if you have fixed it up so that you've told him, put it in so only your auditor can get rid of it or something like that, you really fixed him up. And he becomes utterly convinced that his own postulates will stick, and after that, he will use them rather freely. But he has to be reconvinced that his postulates will stick because he's gotten himself into too much trouble with his own postulates. But you're not doing psychotherapy. You're doing psychotherapy, you're trying to alter a man's agreement with Homo sapiens so that he can be a better Homo sapiens, or you're trying to level him out so that he can fit better into an existing situation, or you're trying to make his body well, or you may be trying to do a lot of things. We're not interested in any of those things for the good reason that they all accrue from theta clearing. And you just take your mind immediately off of trying to straighten up somebody to be a better Homo sapiens and work him always on upward toward being a better operating Satan. And by golly, he will become actually more and more, sometimes in dives and curves, by the way, but he will actually become more and more capable of being a terrific being. Now, he'll even get up to a point where he can actually get rid of a very, very wicked honor situation. He may have to hold down for some responsibility or other, some kind of a job someplace to do something like that. Well, that is solved by being able to duplicate himself. He just duplicates himself. He goes off someplace else and does what he pleases and goes on doing the job at the same time. But there he has to have enough sufficient attention to put his attention on two things at once. Now, you get difficulties as you go up the line. For instance, I'll give you an example. Prickler had a mock-up, that is a doll, stuck on another planet that was sitting at a desk, and a part of the doll was missing. That is, the doll had been shot, and part of its mechanics was gone. It couldn't do anything but sit at a desk. And the fellow had sat at this desk shuffling communications so long that he practically went mad, exteriorized from the doll, came down to Earth and picked up a body. So he sort of went non-compos mentis as this doll, but still was functioning to some slight degree as this doll on another planet at a desk. Way away from here.